A reading from Jeremiah in the second chapter, verses 4 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, we're going to continue on this morning by looking at God's word in the book of Hebrews. If you'd like to join me, that would be awesome. Give you a moment to find that, as I do as well. And we're in the 13th chapter. We're going to be doing select verses there, as you'll see in the bulletin. All right, listen now to God's holy word. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality for strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulation, about food, which have not benefited those who observe. And then hopping down to verses 15 and 16, through him then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Blessed be the reading and the hearing of God's word this morning. So there's a sitcom, a romantic comedy that came out a few years ago called The Breakup. Anybody see that movie? I didn't actually see the movie, but I've seen some clips of it. It's really funny, and kind of the setup is, they're this couple, they've been together for a couple of years, and they wind up in a fight at odds with each other, and they can't, they don't want to give up the apartment they share, so they kind of split it down the middle, and they sort of go at war with each other, trying to drive the other one out at the advice of friends. And there's a scene near the front end that stages the whole breakup that I think's super instructional. Jennifer Aniston is the lead woman in the couple, and Vince Vaughn is the guy. And they've just had this wonderful, posh, beautiful, lovely dinner with friends. And the friends have left, and Vince Vaughn's character, Gary, he plops down on the couch, and he turns on a video game. And Jennifer Aniston walks in, she says, "I'm going to do the dishes now. It would be nice if you helped me." And they start going back and forth. He's like, "I'm tired. I just want to sit here and I just want, you know." And they start going back and forth around this. And there comes a crescendo moment in the conversation where Jennifer Aniston says, "I don't want you to do the dishes. I want you to want to do the dishes." And he's like, "Why would I want to do the dishes?" And he's just, he's not getting it. You know, he's not getting that it's not about the dishes, you doofus. You know, it's not about that. I want to know that you're devoted to me and it matters to me that the dishes get done. Because they're arguing about, "Well, can't we just do them in the morning? I'm tired. I don't want to say, I hate waking up to see dishes sitting there in the morning." But I love that line. It's, "I don't want you to do the dishes. I want you to want to do the dishes." And I think it's the difference. I raised that up this morning because I think it's the relational difference between doing things out of a sense of duty, like it's what somebody's told me or asked me to do, and really having a heart of devotion. And that's what these passages this morning focus on. And poor Gary in this whole thing, he's just not getting it. And there's is he sitting there explaining why he doesn't want to do it? There's one ironic moment where he's like, I just want to have a little peace and quiet. And about that time, he's playing this video game, and it's this guy just like beating the heck out of another guy. And he's like, get him, as he's saying, "I just want some peace and quiet," you know? And he just does not see the irony of that at all. And I thought, oh my gosh, how many times in our lives do we have Gary moments? You know, we're tired, we're weary, we just want to sit down and we want our moment, if you will. But we reach for things that really aren't really feeding us, nurturing us, and giving us what we need. And we're sacrificing a wonderful relationship that's right in front of our faces for something that is so much less. And I say that because in Jeremiah, I think that's the spirit of the passage in Jeremiah this morning. God is saying, "You've turned your hearts to others. You don't even know who I am anymore. And what you do out of duty, not devotion." I really think that's the message that's going on in Jeremiah. And he puts it this way. He's like, "I have life-giving water for you, and you're turning to broken, muddy cisterns." And I think that's what's happening in that moment in the movie of the breakup where he has this wonderful, or could have this wonderful, beautiful relationship that's loving and feeding, and he's giving it up for something of such lesser value. I wonder how many times God's calling me to do something that ultimately would restore me. I have found that I can never outgive God. Like, there are times where God calls me to do something, I'm like, "Oh, man." You know, and I don't want to do it, but I never outgive God. If I'll yield and I'll lean into that, I almost always receive more than what I give. And I can just see God sitting there at times, you know, calling me to do something, and I'm kind of balking and I'm pushing back and I'm laying there on the couch, to so to speak. Not even so to speak. I think the equivalent of this in my life is God's calling me to do something. I feel worn out and weary, and so I do sit down on the couch and I'm binge watching something because I want a moment to myself. I want my time, if you will. And after, you know, what's supposed to be one episode and then becomes half a series, you know, in one night, I walk away not really feeling any more refreshed than I did before. What if instead I had turned to that relationship in front of me? The other piece of this that I have left out, and I think it paints a picture, I'm going to double back to this near the end of the sermon. I think it paints a picture of how we reclaim, if we've ever had it, that sense of devotion instead of duty. There's this moment where Jennifer Aniston she's saying, I spent all day cleaning. I put together this meal. I tried to make it perfect. She lays out all the things that she has done. And what she's really wanting, what she says, it would be nice to hear thank you and you want to help me. And I think of God. How many times has God just laid out a banquet all day long for me of blessings, and God would, his heart would just love to hear thank you and recognize what's been done. And we're going to come back to that because I think part of how we get back or we move from duty to devotion is that we recognize, we remember all of the things that God has done for us. We look at the blessings God has given, and it can move us because the way we get from duty to devotion, from doing what we're asked to wanting to do what we are asked, is just through relationship and building that relationship. And this has been coming up to me again and again. I know I've mentioned a few times. I've been working my way through this devotional guide, Draw the Circle. And I'm getting close. I'm almost there. We're on day 33 of 40. I'm a little bit thick-headed, so I'm glad this is repetitive. Like early on, there was one line that arrested my attention, and I think it speaks beautifully to this difference between duty and devotion. And he simply said this: God doesn't want the worship, he wants the worshiper. God doesn't want the worship, he wants the worshiper. It's about not just showing up and doing what we think or believe is right, but God wants our hearts. He wants time with us. He wants to connect with us. I said I'm a little thick. I thought there was a really cool line. And then later on, he said something similar. He said, if you're seeking an answer, don't seek the answer, but seek God, and the answer will come. And again, it's going back to the relationship first. Building the relationship in the fruit and the beauty, the fresh water, if you will, comes in the relationship. And then finally, I kind of went, oh, I see what you're doing there, God, when he did it a third time. And just yesterday, I read this in here. He said, we can't just know what we believe. We need to know why we believe what we believe. And it must be continually upgraded. Don't be satisfied with simply going to church. Get into God's presence. It's one thing to walk through the door and be on the premises. It's another thing to come in and be in God's presence. And that's why week after week, I come up here and at the beginning of worship, I quite intentionally make us take a deep breath to get present. And I used to pray when I would prepare for worship, and I still do this. Most of my prayers were about wanting God to give me a sermon. You know, it's like, God, Sunday's coming. I need something here. Give me a sermon. Give me a message. Give me something to say. It was like I was digging for content, if you will. Some things happened where I still pray that, but what has become more a priority for me is that I ask God to make me attentive to what's needed this day in here and to bring that forward in a way where you all experience God. And that's a very different thing. And it also, there's a lot of trust I have to do in that, because sometimes I get up here and I've prayed that and I'm like, I don't think what I wrote down here is the thing I'm supposed to do, you know, and I have to run with something different. And I have to trust in that. I have to be present to God for you to be present to God, right? You can't give what you don't have, you know? So I have to really be present to that. And so that's my prayer oftentimes for you now. I pray for you, and I pray for God's presence and for you to feel that and experience that. In much of what I do, I'm trying to, that's why once you take a deep breath and that gets you physically present to the moment and to the room and out of your head of thinking about, well, where are we going to go to lunch? What are we, you know, like all the stuff that can be swirling around in the soup of our minds when we come through that door. It gets you in this place, in this time. And then I remind you, you're right here with God right now. And I remind you who God is. God loves you. He loves you, and he's great here. So it's kind of like, pay attention, you know, like this is the moment. It's like I'm kind of making sure that we're not walking through the door still on the couch playing our video game in our head, you know, but we're seeing right before us God saying, I've been here. I've been laying out blessing after blessing all week down. I've set this banquet before you. And it would really be awesome if you were thankful and you wanted to be a part of that and what I'm doing. Really changes things. I was thinking about this too in a different way. You know, we have to come back to God's presence. We have to build relationship to move from a place of duty to desire to devotion. And sometimes it takes a lot of duty first. So I don't want to beat you up if you're sitting here like, well, I'm the person just doing their duty. Because it takes that for a while, oftentimes. Sometimes we sort of pay dues, if you will, to build the relationship. I was thinking about kids and how kids, when they're growing up at first, they do what they do because they're supposed to. Very few children want to do what you ask of them. We have to negotiate, you know, and we have to tell, sometimes scold or threaten almost, you know, we have to do all these things to convince them to do what's good and right for them, right? And as children, we do what we have to do because we're supposed to do it. In fact, even parents, like, we fall into that sometimes with kids. How many of us, probably, I bet every person in this room at some point, an exasperated parent with a kid saying, well, why do I have to do that? At some point, they finally just say, because I said so, right? You know, we just, you know, like, it's, do it, I said so, and I'm the authority here. But hopefully and beautifully, what can happen over the years is we come, hopefully, to a place where we appreciate all the things that our parents have done for us, you know? And it really changes the whole atmosphere of that. Just a day or two ago, I was on Facebook. Pray for me. But I was on Facebook, and I saw this, saw a memory popped up, and it was from 11 years ago. And I had just been home to my parents. I think I was actually still there when I made the post. And I basically said, really full day today, did a bunch of chores for mom. My dad's in the hospital. He keeps wanting to get out of, or he was in rehab. He keeps wanting to get out of bed. And I was just kind of sharing what went on. And I remember that very vividly because I was starting to see, as my dad had developing Alzheimer's, I was starting to realize that I wasn't going to have my dad forever. And I even knew I'd come home. I lived 9 hours away. And I would come home and I'd think, man, this is the last time I see my dad. And then as the reality of Alzheimer's came home to me, I realized this is the last time I've seen this dad, because I knew I'd have a very different dad by the time I saw him again months later. And I committed to that year. I don't remember the number, but I was 9 hours away, and I set annual goals every year. And one of my goals was, I think it was six times, I'm going to be home at least six times this year, which was no small task to break away to get somewhere that's 9 hours away, right? You use a whole day just getting there and back. And this was one of those visits, and it wouldn't take me long probably to figure out what the chore list was, but I came home, and I remember I built a wall that's now gone. My nephew and his wife have that house. Allie and Abby live there now. And I built a retaining wall that's now gone. You know, it lived about 10 years. And I remember doing repairs, just lots of repairs, because it had been quite a while since my mom and my dad could really take care of their house the way they once did. And so I would come through the door and say, hey, Mom, what do you need me to do? And she might have a few things, or she might even know I was coming and say, I really need you to do such and such. And, you know, I look back, and as a kid in that house, I can't tell you how many times I mowed the lawn, how many times I shoveled the driveway, how many times Mom asked me to vacuum the living room or do some simple chore. And I did it grudgingly, you know, for sure, as a kid. In fact, I remembered I was a snot of a kid to have to raise as a parent in some ways. But you're shocked, I'm sure. But I remember my mom asked me to vacuum the living room, and I went in there and I turned on the vacuum and I sat down on the couch and did something. Just let the vacuum sit there and run for a while and came in. I'm done with the done with the living room. And she took one look and she's like, you did not vacuum that. Okay. You know, went back in there and vacuumed it. Now I not only still had to vacuum it, but now I had a mad mom, right? You know, it did not work out well for me. But when I went back as an adult, motivated by the wisdom of seeing all that my parents had done for me for years and all the times they had rescued me, you know, I earnestly, truly wanted to do those things. I looked for those things to do, and it meant the world to me to see the gratitude in my mom or my dad when I did those things. Because now it wasn't duty, it was devotion. Because I was so mindful of just how much my parents had done for me. And in about 10 days, it will be 10 years since my dad was gone. And I look back and I think about that and I think, I would give anything for a phone call of, hey Johnny, my family calls me Johnny, hey Johnny, could you come home? I need this fixed. I would give anything for that phone call to be able to do that. I would give anything to just be able to walk through the door and not be told, but look around and find the thing that needed to be done and do it as a way of showing my dad or my mom how much I love them. And I can't do that now, but I have a heavenly Father. And he's got a mess of things that need to be done in his house. You know, like, there's a bottomless list of chores that need to be done in God's house. And I don't just mean, like, right here. God's house that reaches out into this community. There's a mess of need out there. And what I don't want to happen for me or for you or for anybody is that we get to the end of our days and we've kind of just done what we were supposed to do because we were supposed to do it. But then we walk before God, and God, who loves us, welcomes us home, but he welcomes us home and says, well, you got your chores done. You know, like, I would much rather hear those words from Scripture when I walk through that door to my heavenly Father, to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, because I did what he called me to do, because I wanted to do the dishes, if you will. I wanted to want to do it. That my heart was in it, and what I did out of devotion and not duty. And so I'll just bring it back to this. How do we get there? I've kind of said it already, but if you didn't hear it, let me like circle a little, you know, big circle around it and say it's right here. But it starts with, it's about relationship, and it starts with slowing down and recognizing and acknowledging the gifts, all the things that God has done, all the stuff that God has done. And I'm telling you, you may be like, well, I don't know what that is. If you'll slow down and you'll say, God, open my eyes to see where you have been at work lately, you'll be amazed. You'll start to go, oh, I bet that was God. I bet that was God. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize that was God. And when you see enough of that, I'm telling you, if you slow down and you ask that question enough and you ask it with an open heart in anticipation, expectation of an answer, what will happen is there'll come a tipping point at some point where you won't just be saying thanks. You'll be swelling up with gratitude. You'll feel it in you. And in that, that's that tipping point moment from duty to devotion. But it takes seeing what God's done for us. And God has done so much. So much. And if you look at your life around you, and you can't see it in your life around you, go back to the scriptures and reread the Gospels. Reread the story of Christ's body broken for us. That should be enough. That alone should send us from a place of duty to devotion. But go back and realize that God loves us so much that not only he has laid out a great banquet, but he has done it at a great cost so that each one of us, we don't just get our chores done, but God looks down, and when we have that moment and we take a great big deep breath together and we feel God's presence, God is looking on and going, wow. Well done, good and faithful servant. You're here this morning because you desire to be here. And God's heart's warmed that we're here driven by all the right things, all the right things. So praise be to God that we have this God. He's really patient. You know, he doesn't kick us out of the house because we turned the vacuum cleaner on and sat on the couch. He gives us a second chance. And hopefully we take that second chance. And he lives through all the times where we went, okay, I'll do what you want, until we get to a place where we want it. Praise be to God that we have that patient God. Amen.